Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. John, how are you tonight?
Good. How's everything going, Joanne?
Oh, it's been better, but okay. You know, we definitely have a variety tonight. You can't say we don't have a mixed variety on this show. That is for sure. So before
we start,
I'd just like to say thank you to our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, and KWV Wines from South Africa. Texas Chaney, are you on the line, sir?
I am indeed.
Hey, how are you, hon? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good.
Well, I'm just going to jump right in. So you're a wrestler turned actor model. How did that happen?
That is a very good question. Well, you know, for many years, 12 years, I wrestled. And through those first 6 years, 7 years, a lot of wrestlers are normally already at that plateau. Sometimes they're confronted with people that are, you know, directors and agents and filmmakers. And if they see something they like, they usually approach you because you're already on an acting level, per se.
Right.
At that time.
Right. Well,
you're pretty much wrestler.
Doing. Right,
yeah.
Wrestling is pretty much acting to some degree. Right,
right. That is exactly correct. Physically, yeah.
Right.
So, I kind of started getting into it halfway through my career, and as I see the light at the end of the tunnel with my decision to start scaling back this year, I'm going full-time into the movie business, and I've got publicists, so I've got agents, and I've got some movie deals working out right now. I can't talk about, but some I can.
You have to admit, acting is a lot less painless than wrestling, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I still love my wrestling. I still have some shows booked for this year, and I've loved the game. It's been good to me, and a lot of good memories.
Yeah.
And as I get older, you know, I'm getting older, so I don't want to beat my body up.
Right.
The physical part out.
So what made you want to be a wrestler? Who were you a big fan of that inspired you to want to be a wrestler? I mean, you must have watched wrestling, obviously.
Easy.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I
always liked the Texas Rattlesnake. Yeah, that's where my family was from, Texas.
Do you remember Chief J. Strongbow and Andre the Giant and those guys?
Oh, absolutely.
That's when I watched wrestling. My mom used to watch it, so we used to have to watch it, and that's when I would watch it back then. And
it's taking a different turn these days, hasn't it?
Oh, it definitely has. Yeah. I mean, that in your opinion, if you don't want to answer, back then, do you think it was more fake or no? I mean.
No, I think it was better back then.
I think so, too. I haven't watched wrestling in, I can't even tell you, maybe 30 years. So, I mean, I know the names because, they're popular. So, so who's the biggest name that you've wrestled that we would know? Not Hulk Hogan or any of those guys?
Yeah, before I answer that, I would wrestle an old-timer any day because they work a whole lot better than the new guys. A lot of new guys, they get out there and they get big-headed and they They move around so much they don't know how to do the dance. They're hot dog, that's what we say in the industry.
Right.
That's easy to answer that question. The man that is at the level that I thought and had a lot of respect for and always enjoyed my best match with him was the I don't know why I just went blank, but he was Tony Atlas was an amazing guy. I love wrestling him. Tony Atlas. You know who that is, right?
Yeah, I know the name. I know the name.
Yep.
But now Vince McMahon, you know him, obviously, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and he's built himself quite the empire with the wrestling.
He reminds me of like Donald Trump. You know, he's just started with his mom and dad started it, and they passed the torch to him, and he took it all the way. And mom and daddy are happy about him. They're long gone for both of them, and they're successful businessmen. They're both in the entertainment business. Well, Donald Trump, he was a little bit, his business was different, but this man, he's very smart businessman. He's actually even got the XFL going, the football league. He started about 15 years ago, and he kind of fell through a little bit. Now he's back at it, and it's doing really good for him.
Right. Wow. So you've done some great shows. You've done Dawson's Creek, One Tree Hill, Matlock, of course, the WWE, Southern Iron. Is that your newest flick, or?
Southern Iron's kind of aged a little bit. There's some new ones, Heeks, Corner Pocket, and some a lot of short films, a lot of big stuff I didn't actually get because of the industry is just flooded with people. Kind of really started sculpting my body a little bit more and getting more headstrong into the acne now. Landing some pretty good stuff, but I've been in a lot of films. I think the best film that I didn't get, which a lot of people don't talk about what they didn't get, but I'm proud of this one. I actually had a premiere casting call for Sylvester Stallone written movie. It's been out on TV. It's called Homefront, and I was going to be working directly with Jason Statham.
Oh, cool.
Written by Sylvester Stallone. That was one I just barely missed it. That was a really good movie. They got some good stuff coming up with some sitcoms and some.
Oh, great!
And those are ones I can't talk about because they're really not contractual yet, but they're going to be.
Right.
But yeah, any type of of course, my big thing I want to be focusing my time on like Marvel superhero stuff.
Oh, you're big
action movies, big action stuff.
You're big enough to do it. I mean, you're 6'2" and 280 pounds. I don't want to run into you in a dark alley, that's for sure.
I'm a teddy bear.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's a big teddy bear.
I'm a really nice, down-to-earth guy. My size definitely shouldn't intimidate anybody. I'm just as gentle as a person half my size. But my inspiration and my goals are definitely set forth by, the people that believe in me. A lot of people ask me, who do I look up to and, who do I give my thanks to? I'm telling you, it's my fans and the people that believe in me. They're the ones that made my feet kept getting it,
Right. Well, now, let me ask you this. As a kid, were you a wrestler, like with the kids? Do we always say, let's wrestle and all that stuff and trying to do the... Oh, God, I can't think of the names of the moves. Oh, God, I can't think of the names.
Body slam, super.
Body slam, yes.
Oh, yeah. My neighborhood was full of that. Yep. I certainly did all that stuff when I was young.
Wow.
And I played football for, 11 years of my youth life. And I boxed 2 years and then the 12 years of wrestling. And so I've always been really physical.
Yeah. Is Tex your real name? And you changed it to Texas.
Texas Training II. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
My grandfather was from Houston, Texas.
And you're in Texas, yeah. So now you're in Texas, which is not really the movie capital of the country. So how do you go about getting your gigs in these movies or sitcoms? I mean, obviously your agent is hooking you up.
Man, agents, they find stuff all over. It's not pinpointing just one area. It's all over.
Now, you said you have girls, or you have any boys as well in the family?
Oh, no, I just have one son. He's going to med school.
Ah, I was going to say, does he have any interest in...
No, he never had an interest in it. I was surprised. But, he's a big boy, too. He's bigger than me, believe it or not. He's a big boy.
Yeah,
he can do whatever he wants to.
Yeah, you're the only one in the family that wanted to do wrestling.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, wow.
None of them believed in it either. Nobody thought I would do it, but I did.
Well, you know, when you're...
Not a lot of negativity, but boy, I'll tell you what, another coming out of the woodworks.
You know, you got to say, honestly, when people say you can't do it, it makes you want to do it even more. And
bingo.
Makes it happen. So,
you're correct.
Yeah.
You are correct about that.
Yeah. The more people tell you don't do it, the more you're going to do it. So, where can we see you coming up? In a wrestling match sooner than TV, or what's going on?
Yeah, my TV days are over in wrestling.
Oh, you don't wrestle at all?
Yes, I still do. I still do wrestle, but they're house shows now. They're not televised on large networks like I did back in the day. They're more local, like in Georgia, would be local television networks.
Right.
Considered indie shows.
Oh, I gotcha. Now, what do you think of Mexican wrestling? Are you into that?
Lucha Libre. That's a league on its own. They are very fast, high flying, experienced, talented men and women. That's bigger guys. It's like a league on its own, but they're awesome. I have worked with some Lucha Libre guys. I worked with a guy down in Alabama, Georgia line, and this one guy, he was amazing. And their high flyers are really good. No, definitely could work a match with them and, rehearse it and make it work good. But it's always much better if you can let two Mexican Lucha Libre guys work together because they can really make it more substantial.
Why did they wear the mask?
It's a traditional thing. It started way back in the day, kind of like we, American society, we have our Superman or Batman, things like that. The Mexican society believed in the mask, even though, even these days, you can go to Mexican restaurants and you'll see sometimes they have these little characters drawn up like skulls. They were really big in artistic drawings and masks and stuff like that. So that was kind of their culture, so to say.
Yeah, I was curious about that. I never knew why. And what do you think of, I don't want to call it little people wrestling. What do you think of that?
Like midget wrestling?
Yeah, well, you said it, not me.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, that's what they call it when they have the posters out, midget wrestling. I think it's wonderful to have people that are, I would consider, least fortunate in society that we have. I think it's amazing. I tip my hat off to these little people that they can get out there and do what us big people do and do it just the same. And my heart goes out to people like that. They're wonderful actors, talented people, men and women. And I think they have a league of their own. And I think
it's amazing.
And I applaud them.
Yeah. I'm just curious to know what you thought as a professional wrestler, how you thought of, midget wrestling, if it was a professional sport or not. But, yeah, it is. To them, yeah, they have their own league. So, but now if anybody wants to find out more about you and everything, where could they go, Tex?
Oh, yeah. You can go on my website. It's www.texaschaney.com, and I'll spell that. Texas is just like the state, T-E-X-A-S. Last name is Cheney, C-H-E-N-E-Y. And my manager, Sylvia Carlisle, her number's on that website. I can be contacted or booked through her. That's set up through, my agents and my publicists as well.
Right. Now, in your roles that you play, do you usually play a muscle guy, a bad guy? What's your stereotype you at all, or typecast?
Yeah, it sure seems to be that way. I always told the agents, I said, look, if you need me to cry or sing a tune, I can do that too. But I guess it's my size that they I don't think it's stereotyping. I think they just use my size as the part of the cast that's needed, so to say.
Mm. And to this day, is Andre the, do you know, is Andre the Giant still the biggest wrestler there was size-wise?
The biggest guy, absolutely.
Yeah, he was huge. Oh, my God. That's what
he
I
was
watched.
A big movie.
Yeah, that's what I watched it when Andre and all those guys. That was great. I remember Chief J. Strongbow. He was funny. I loved him. But oh my God! I wanted to ask you: were you there, I don't want to say this. When the live feed when Hart was coming in.
Oh, and Hart. Yeah, Owen Hart. No, I wasn't contracted then, but I did see a lot of it. And a lot of my friends with the industry told me that
that was
a real accident that took place. It's unfortunate. It does happen. Now that was not a mishap through wrestling. That was a mishap through production. He got hit with the cable.
Right. It's horrible.
But there are some hurting games that go down now. I've hurt myself a lot, even though it's choreographed backstage. It is physical. When you hit the floor, that is real. You're not supposed to kill each other. You want to make it just like a movie. You go out there and you make it look, you entertain the customers. That's what they came to see.
Right.
That's what they came to pay for.
Right. So now you're saying it was choreographed. So do you guys decide who's going to win that match, or is it really a fight?
No, that is really choreographed. That is you've got number one, you've got the production, which is the federation, so like WWE or NWA. You have the man that owns it. He usually a lot of the smaller federations, the promoter will tell everyone what he expects them to do, who's going to go over, which is winning, who's going to go, and you got the heel, the baby face, so you got a lot of promoters that have what's called bookers, and bookers are on site at the shows, and the bookers are just basically like an agent for the promoter, and they'll explain to you what they want to do, what kind of storyline they want to go with, who's going to win, who's going to lose, and how they want you to lose, you know, whether it's a cheap lose or a legitimate win, or if it's a storyline, just a disqualification.
So they basically decide who's going to be a star wrestler.
That's right.
Wow. So it's not a fair fight, no pun intended. It's not
no
a fair
pun
fight.
Intended. That's
you
right.
know? Wow, that's something. So I guess if you got the goods and they like you or whatever, and they think you can bring in the money, that's the thing. You know, whoever's going to make the most money. So
that's right. That's how it's set up. Yeah, they want to. You know, they got Nielsen reports. They know who's watching what the most, and when they see that, they raise the stakes and they concentrate on what they know is making the most.
Did you ever get hit with a chair?
Oh yeah, that does hurt.
And it's a real hit. That's a real hit. That's and a real chair.
Real metal chair. Yeah, I've been hit with a metal chair.
I guess it's worth it if it's going to get you where you want to go. You know.
Yeah.
Well, how was your day today, honey? Oh, I got hit with a metal chair. I'm all right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, God. So, like I said, where can we see you next? We're going to see you. Can you say where we can see you next? Or?
Yeah, well, I've got a wrestling show in Thomaston, Georgia on March 21st.
Hmm.
Old School Wrestling. It's OVW. I'll be down there on March 21st. It's going to be a cage match. I'm going to be semi-main. And it's going to be a pretty good show. There's going to be some good superstars there. Tommy Wildfire Rich, the masked superstar, of course, Truck, myself. Big Steel Joey Roberts. The list goes on and on. There's going to be some new people coming from Tampa, Florida, up to the show. Teddy Long's going to be there. He's a good friend of mine. You know, Teddy Long, what's up, Leah? He's a good guy.
What was I going to say? What was the biggest venue you ever played? Was it the Garden in New York, or where was the biggest venue you had a match?
Oh, Staples Center.
Oh, California. Okay.
That's hard to beat. That's a nice place.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, they hold everything there. Grammys,
yeah,
everything. Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah, the Grammys was there. That's where I hope to be next year.
Are you a singer too, Jack?
I'm sorry. Am I what?
Are you a singer as well?
No. I did one little song that a good buddy of mine, he's a really super guy. I haven't spoke to him in a while. I called him Easy. His name was Eric.
Mm.
And he played the guitar. And, he could jam. The boy was talented.
Mm.
And super, super guy. I mean, just a great individual.
Nice.
But I remember we were just going to some shows together. I remember he just asked me the simple question. He was like, hey, man, you should really do a song, you know, and use it. I was like, yeah, okay. You know, I was just shooting the breeze with him. Next morning, he's calling me up and says, hey, Truck, are you home? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I got to come by and show you something. I'm like, okay, come on. So that night, he had wrote a song for me, and he showed it to me. He says, now I got the drummer, the guitar. He goes, the deal is you got to sing it. I got the studio set up, and it's going to be called What Time Is It?
Mm.
And What Time Is It's Truck 30. That's what time it is when I'm in the ring.
Mm.
So we mass produced some CDs and we sold them at some shows, and I still got a couple of them that's in the cellophane, and we got copyrights on them and everything.
Cool.
It never made it big, but that wasn't my intention.
Right.
My heart and soul was in the ring, and I'm very proud of that.
Right.
I can't say how good people think it is, but I think it's pretty good. There's a little cheesiness to it, but I made it, and I'm proud of it, but that's not my forte. My forte is getting in the ring and showing off in front of people and making people happy and making people love me and, you know, entertaining people. That's what I like to do. I like to make people laugh. I like to make people cheer. You know, that's just makes me feel good. You know, it's almost like somebody gardening. Like someone that owns a landscaping company that come to your house and make your yard look beautiful. I want to come to the ring or go in the box office and I want to make people happy. I want them to not just be focused on me, but focused on what I was a part of.
Right. When you walk down the street in Texas, do people know who you are? Are they afraid of you because of your size?
No, sometimes, yes. You know, I try to be incognito with a hat and stuff in more social locations. But sometimes people pick up on it and, you know, I'll sign autographs and take pictures and stuff like that.
It's kind of hard to hide with your size, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I get that a lot. Like, hey, we know who you are. No.
Right.
There's been a lot of times people come up to me and say, you know what? I know what they're getting ready to say. You look like a wrestler.
Right.
And if they really don't know who I am, you know, just to maintain my private life, I'll say I've never heard that before.
Well, since you're from Texas too, let me ask you this real quick. Is it wrestling or wrestling?
It's wrestling, baby. Wrestling.
I knew you were gonna say that. Show me some horns. Oh, well. Well, Tex, listen. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure. It was so nice to get to know you. And we look forward to seeing you in your next sitcom, movie, or whatever comes your way.
Yeah, well, you guys just keep up with my websites and stuff. And you'll see what I'm doing and where I'm at. And I encourage you to contact me again. I'll be more than happy to share my life with you. And thank you for taking the time to allow me to express my personal and my professional life with you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, and all the best to you. And again, thanks for joining Applause Radio Show, Texas, and all the best to you, sir.
All right. I'll give you one last you-hi, and you guys have a good night, everybody. I hope everybody's doing good, and watch out for me.
Woo-wee! Thank you so much. All right, Tex. Take care. Thank you so much. Texas Chaney, everybody. www.texaschaney.com. Check him out. Can't miss him. He's huge. Take care, Tex. Thank you. Bye.
Buddy.
All right. All right, Johnny boy. Do we have our next guest on the phone?
Not yet. She hasn't called in yet, so we're just going to wait for her to call in.
Okay, well, cool. In the meantime, we can mention our sponsors again, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. Delicious food, excellent drinks. Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania. The best videos you ever want to see. Make sure you call them if you're having a wedding or need some photos done. They're there for you. And KW Wines in South Africa. And also, I would like to mention the fundraiser for Jody Wiener coming up on March 6th at 6:30 p.m. at Brook Lake Country Club in Florham Park, New Jersey. And you, if you want tickets, you can send a check for $50. Make it out to the Jody Wiener Fund and address it to Arlene Brief Entertainment, 20 Brandon Ave, Livingston, New Jersey, 07039. And it's going to be a wonderful evening of drinks, comedy. Several comedians will be on. And also will be emceed by Al Sapienza from The Sopranos. So, wonderful. I'm hoping to make it myself. I hope I can. And looking forward to that if I do. So, I believe Anne may be trying to call me, but I can't pick her up because I still have texts on the line. So if we can't get her on through our normal way that she's supposed to be calling, then we may have to end the show a little early tonight. So we'll give her a little time. So how's your move going, Johnny boy?
Oh, what a pain in the neck it is. We emptied out two storage units this weekend. And I'm hurting in places where I never thought I would ever hurt or even thought I could hurt.
Right.
It's just very stressful, very painful.
Right.
So the house is almost finished. We're still trying to move junk in, and it's just taking forever and ever and ever. Plus, once you get everything in there, it's like, oh, my God, where does this go? Where do I put this?
Right. Right.
You know,
where are you gonna put it?
Yeah, it's a long process.
Oh,
I don't wish that on anybody. It's horrible moving.
Oh, I know. Well, at least is the house done now, though, that you can do? Obviously, if you're moving in, it's done, right?
Well, it's I'd say 90% done. There's a couple of little things that have to be hooked up and everything. But, it's basically you can move into it. So we'll just wait
good,
and see.
Good.
But after the mud we had this week yesterday, it rained and we're moving stuff in and one of my friend's trucks gets stuck in the mud and it's just like gigantic mud puddles. It's incredible.
Oh my God. Listen, she's trying to call me. If she tries to call me one more time, I'm going to pick it up and I may lose you and I may have to call into the show. Hang on here. This is her. Let me see if we can connect. Hang on.
Okay. Let's see while Joanne tries to connect. We have a very sophisticated call in line here. I think it's a little bit. Are you there, Ann?
I am.
I hear somebody. Oh, is Joanne there? I hear you, Ann. I think we lost Joanne.
Oh.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, because I think she. I'm talking directly through her telephone to you now. I don't know how we're going to.
There's Joanne.
Joanne?
Oh, I've been trying to answer
you. There you go.
You called the wrong number, Ann.
No, I didn't. It's the number you sent me in your message.
No. I gave you 646-478-0999. The number you're calling me on is my personal number.
Oh, isn't that so funny? That's the number you put in. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
No, I gave it to Richard. I thought he would have relayed the message. I gave you my number in case you needed to speak to me. So, but anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Ann Kittredge on the phone with us. Thank you so much, Ann, for joining us.
Hi,
Ann.
Yes, thank you.
Hello.
So you've got a lot going on, my friend. You used to be an amazing Broadway star. You took 10 years off to play with the kids, and then you came back and blew up again. Tell us all about that.
Well, I wouldn't say I was an amazing Broadway star. I was a working performer, and I did a lot of work, and then I took time off because, like many people, I wasn't making enough money to justify the nanny. So I just kept going, if I'm spending this much money to have a nanny, why did I have kids? So I said, nope, let me take this on. And Yeah, and then they grew up, and they're still not totally grown up. Of course, they never will be, as far as I'm concerned.
Right,
but anyway.
Exactly.
So 3 years ago, I said, okay, kids, you know, now you're going to watch your mama do something that she really loves to do, and I want you to do this with your life, too. And so we've been doing it, and it's been really fun. I'd never done cabaret before. That's really new to me. Mm-hmm. It's been really fun.
Nice, nice. Now, what were you doing before if you never did cabaret before?
Mostly live theater. I did a little bit of TV, but I really did mostly live theater. A lot of stuff, New York, a lot of off Broadway, a little bit of Broadway, a lot of regional, you know, I toured, it really was wonderful. But I was also exhausted. I have to say that I'm so glad I took that time off, because when I came back, I appreciated performing even more. I really did. I mean, I kind of had burned myself out. So, you know, we grow up and we go, oh, wow, I didn't appreciate that as much as I should have when I was so busy doing it.
Right. If you're not having fun, it's not worth it.
Yeah, you do burn yourself out, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in the educational aspect of helping these kids out? I mean, what made you?
You know,
that
I'll
out?
Tell, well, okay, so there's two parts to that. There's the part where when I was taking my daughter to first day of kindergarten, I thought, oh, wow, this is great. I'm going to drop her off, and I'm going to have a few hours with just me and my son. And, oh, wow. And I walked her into kindergarten and found out that because of some bizarre situation, my daughter's class was going to have 38 five-year-olds in it.
Really?
And I went, well, that's not okay. And that.
Well, what grade was your daughter?
Kindergarten.
And they were going to put. Okay, wow.
38. So that kind of just triggered me. I was like, well, I've got. So I became like, you know, one of those parents. I volunteered. I was put on an education council. I was, you know, all these different things. And I also thought that was good for my kids, because I thought, you know, I would take my son to meetings. I would take him to all these things. He was
like,
you know,
were,
he was my little.
They were involved.
Well, and, you know, and I really sincerely thought this is important for them to see. They have to see that you do need to volunteer. You do need to. But I have to tell you, Joanne, it was particularly hard for me, because as much as I loved seeing that, you know, my efforts had an impact, I despise politics.
Right.
I despise it. And so it was so draining for me that I guess I keep draining myself. So that after 10 years, I just went, okay, my son's in middle school, and I think it's okay if I let that part go now.
Right.
Let some younger parents take this on. You go. Enjoy.
Well, you made a major impact. We did. Yeah. And so what did you actually do to help the kids again? You want to let everybody know?
Wow. How many? Well, for one thing, there are now stop signs around every school in the city of New York. And
wow.
That is because when my daughter was in kindergarten, first grade, she was hit by a car outside of our school.
Oh my God.
We were livid that there weren't any stop signs, and we fought and fought and fought, and we got our assemblyman involved, and they passed a law saying that you have to have stop signs at every school crossing, all the corners around the school.
That's a shame she had to get hit by a car to make it happen, but Jesus.
But she was fine, but, you know, it was so great, right? It was really great. I guess the other things that I was involved in getting social emotional programs into my children's schools, and then that just expanded out. Now social emotional programs are all over the city of New York, which is really fantastic. I was put on a middle school advisory team for a while, and that was really interesting to figure out how to get parents, particularly parents who English is a second language, to more effectively get involved with their children's learning. You know, you don't think about how difficult it is for them.
Right.
You know, their children can speak English better than they. How can they help their kid? You know, it's really an interesting dilemma.
Right.
So yeah, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things. And
did
then,
you bring did you bring music into the schools at all?
I did. I was finding academic based plays. They were like 10 to 15 minute shows for elementary school level that I would direct. And I did not just direct my kids. I directed anyone who would let me.
Right.
And I would always infuse music in it. So I'd add music to these plays. And I directed a lot of stuff. I started a talent show at my school, which sounds like, well, what do you do? Except that we didn't have one. And I really love this, but to this day, the school invites me to the talent show every year. And I really love that. I love that they remember.
Right.
So,
well, they wouldn't be doing it. They wouldn't be doing it without you. So, you know, of course, you know. So, okay.
It's
so,
nice.
so you break your ass, pardon the expression, doing this with the kids and, you know, taking all
very
the
rewarding, time. Very
right.
rewarding. And yes. glad it was over.
Right. So 10 years passes and you decide you want to jump back into the ring. Oh, I didn't mean to say ring. We just had a wrestler on.
Yes, and he's in Texas. And my son was born in Texas. So I was
very
listening
nice.
Intently. Yes.
Yeah. Nice guy, Texas. Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah.
So 10 years go by. What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
Are you scared? What is your first thing that you wanted? What is the first gig? What'd you do?
Well, the first thing I wanted to know, first thing I had to figure out is if I could even do it, right?
Right.
It had been 10 years, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I can do it anymore. And so I thought that I decided to do cabaret, once because I have a little bit of the old-fashioned in me, and I love a lot of the old, great musical artists. And, you know, I think I always had a fantasy when I was a kid of being that singer in the bar and, you know, sitting on a stool and just singing for 2 hours for people. And so I thought, well, you know, let's go there. And I initially reached out to a friend. Her name is Wendy Cavett. She is a music director on Broadway. And I love this claim to fame for her. She's the first female conductor of Hamilton in the world.
Oh, wow.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So we went to college together, and I reached out to her, and I said, you know, you want to work on a cabaret show? She had never done one either. We were like, what the hell are we doing? We've never done this before. Mm. And we jumped in. We made a lot of mistakes. And then Richard J. Alexander, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a producer. Mm. He's a director. He's directed Barbara Streisand's concerts and Kristen Chenoweth's concerts, and she's pretty powerful. And he took a liking to me, and he offered to direct my show at 54 Below, and it went great. And I ended up getting a MAC Award, which is a Manhattan Association of Cabarets and Clubs Award for my first show. And then last year was devoted to creating these two shows that I've been doing, and it's been going really nicely. It's really very, very thrilled. They just announced the nominations for the MAC Awards this year yesterday, and I did get one for the show that we'll be doing. And we're going to be doing one of our shows, the show that's a tribute to Aaronson Flaherty. Lynn Aaronson and Steve Flaherty wrote. They wrote Ragtime. They wrote Anastasia.
Hmm.
They wrote Once on This Island. They wrote Seussical. You know, they wrote a lot of shows. And we put together Alex Rybeck, who's my music director, and Andrea Markovici was the director. We put together this tribute. It's been going very nicely. We've done it. We did it out in L.A. We've done it here in New York. And, you know, I just decided, you know, this thing going so nicely. It seems like, you know, we're getting really good buzz about the show. So I decided to do a fundraiser with the show for an organization called the Child Help Partnership.
Not see, you're which, still helping the kids. I know, I love it.
Yeah, I can't. I can't get away from it. I just love. You know, there's just so much.
It's a beautiful
and
thing.
This organization is very cool. Mm. They're obviously not profit. They are devoted to helping traumatized children and their families.
Wow.
And they truly believe that given the proper treatment and attention at an early age, then the trauma doesn't have to be a life sentence, And I learned about them initially through a very good friend of mine, Marsha Parnes. And, you know, it was personal to me because my daughter, and I do have permission to talk about this. My daughter said it was okay. My daughter really had a tough time in high school. She really went through a tough time, and she was really struggling. And we did get her into to get her help, but the help wasn't working. And Joanne, I don't even know. Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I have two boys.
Okay. All right. So you'll understand this. When it wasn't working, when the help wasn't working, you know, her little teenage brain went, well, then nothing will work. Nothing's going to work.
And as a mom, you're in panic mode.
And so, you know, we knew about the Child Help Partnership, and I really wanted her to get into it, but she was absolutely resistant. She was like, Mom, it doesn't work. Nothing works.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was tough. And so then she, I don't know what happened. I guess right after she graduated high school, she kind of had this epiphany, and she went, okay, I will try it. You know, like, you know, but unfortunately she had outaged because it only goes up to 18 and she was 18. So, but the long story short for my daughter is she's doing terrific. We did find a program for her age.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And she's thriving. It's like wonderful. But it didn't change how I felt about CHP. And so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we've got this show. Let's do something that creates value. And, you know, Marsha had been mentioning to me, we'd love you to do a fundraiser for us.
What's the name of the show, Ann?
It's called Fancy Meeting You Here, Evening of Errands and Celerity.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, we are really excited today. We're all working out the tech schedule and everything, and we're getting pumped.
And when and where is it?
It is March 5th. It's here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It's at a venue called Green Room 42. It's at 10th Avenue and 42nd Street. It's actually on the fourth floor of this building. It's like a Novotel building. And it's really funky. It's got a real real contemporary little edge to it, feel to the place. And they have also, I have to say, they have also, the venue itself has also gotten psyched up about this event too, so much so that they have also offered to contribute some of what they're in to benefit CHP. So I'm, very impressed with that.
Very nice. Have the kids seen you perform, or obviously at home? But I'm talking about seen your show.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Joanne. So my daughter, who in her own right has a pretty incredible voice. She likes my performing and she's very supportive. My son truly, sincerely hates my voice. He just hates it. But he loves me so much that I introduced a new show. This is a totally different show that we'll be doing in the fall at Don't Tell Mama. But we introduced it at the Beat Cafe, which is Upper East Side. Back in December, and he had hockey that night. And just before the show, I see him coming in, and he just wanted to surprise me and show his support. So he came. He came to my show, and I was like, you know, that's love. When I know that he really doesn't like my music, I mean, he's really into that, you know, aggressive stuff.
Yeah,
he showed up. He showed up, Joanne.
Nice, nice. He better. He better show up.
No, I didn't expect it. I didn't, you know, I was like, nope, you don't have to be there. But so that was lovely.
Well, can you name any shows that the folks listening would know that you've been in on Broadway? Or
yeah, the only things I've done are failures. Except, well, I did a show called King David, which was written by Alan Menken. I did a Christmas Carol for six seasons. That was done at Madison Square Garden for six seasons. That was pretty intense. We were doing 15 shows a week. It was pretty. That was intense. It was really. A great time.
You almost hated Christmas.
No, never. And you know, and we were doing it during, you know, 2001. And I'll never forget that. I you know, we were so used to such bustle.
Right.
And there wasn't as much bustle in 2001, and I'll never forget that. I remember walking to the theater thinking, I will never complain about a tourist who doesn't know how to walk a sidewalk. I will never complain about it again.
Right.
Please come back.
Yeah, it was a tough time for people to, you know, go out and enjoy themselves, you know. So, but I'm sure you brought joy to many people who did see the show. So, you know, like I said, it's a tough time at that time.
It was a wonderful show. It was written by Alan Menken. It was written by Alan Menken and Lynn Ahren. So this was Lynn has been working with Stephen Flaherty most of the time of her career, but there was a point where they both kind of worked with other people, and this was one of those times where she did this show with Alan Menken. So it was it was wonderful.
And Ahren's and Flaherty, what songs would we know from them from musicals or plays?
Well,
or
Anastasia, at the beginning, what was the Oscar nominated? There's an Oscar-nominated song from Anastasia. What is it called? I'm trying to think of what it's called right now. Journey to the Past. Journey to the Past.
Okay.
They wrote that. They wrote Back to Before from Ragtime, Wheels of a Dream. They wrote, from Seussical.
Am I reading this right? Did you do Rocky the Musical, my favorite?
They wrote a musical version of Rocky. And listen to this. They initially wrote it in German. It actually began in Germany. And Lynn doesn't speak German. So they wrote this musical in German first. I just find this so fascinating.
Yeah, how the heck did they do that if they don't speak German?
Well, you know, I think they hired someone, and it was a really intense experience. Then they brought it to New York, and I happen to have loved it. I was at the opening night party, and I'll never forget. They had a boxing ring, and Sylvester Stallone was there, and we could all take pictures of ourselves boxing with people. It was really fun.
fun. So after these two events, what do you have in the future coming out of your mind and your brain and your heart?
Well, like I said, we've got the two shows that are definitely scheduled for later on this, career-wise, you know, it's been 3 years. I have, you know, I treasure my experience with cabaret. I'm going to continue with it, absolutely. Yeah. But I also think I'm ready now to pursue the 8-show-a-week, a live theater thing, the Broadway, the off-Broadway again, which I haven't focused on yet. And so I think that's the next step. So I'm looking forward.
Yes. Do you have any CDs out or music out online of yourself? Or?
You know, I have a Christmas one, but that it's not Christmas time. But I have. It's funny that you said that. We just we've been in the recording studio. Alex Rybeck and I have been in a recording studio. We've been recording some music, and one of the songs is an Ahren's and Flaherty song that has. It's not in a show, so. Even for the diehard, you know, absolute diehard Ahren's and Flaherty fans, when they come to my show, they get to hear a song that they've never heard before.
Nice.
And we decided, oh, my gosh, we have to record this. So we did. Because Lynn and Steve have been very, you know, very accessible to us, very supportive. She's been rewriting lyrics for me, and you know, they provided us music and their opinions, and it's been lovely. They're really great people.
Good. I wanted to ask you this for a personal question of me that I want to know. With today's times are very different, of course. Do you notice the talent that is coming up now? Is it less or more or younger, or you just don't see new people coming in the way it used to be? Or is it still alive and well?
I think it's absolutely alive and well. It's very different. And I think the biggest difference, I see incredible talent in the youth.
Yeah.
The thing that I have an issue with, honestly, that I don't even know what's going to happen, because I don't necessarily think it's going to die. I just think that it's going through some kind of a wacky
transition.
Wacky period, is that most of today's singers who are attracted to Broadway stage, you know, theater directed music, they no longer have, they no longer can project. They are so married to the microphone. And I have to say that I miss the dynamics that can come from someone whose voice. But part of that, to be honest with you, I'll tell you two things about that. The first one is, I saw it at my children's elementary school, where they started demanding, you know, one of the things is they wanted us as a PTA to buy a sound system with microphones for everybody for the show. And I fought it. I didn't win. I won for a couple of years, but I didn't win completely. But, you know, the complaint was, we don't know what they're saying. We don't know what the kids are saying. And I said, and my attitude was, you know, these kids are 6, 7, 8 years old. So what if you don't understand what they're saying? If they immediately are put on a microphone, they will never develop the need to have those skills or that vocal, you know, ability.
Right.
If you immediately put a mic at their voice.
Right.
So that's one thing that I think is unfortunate, that, you know, parents, you know, sincerely, get over it. Allow yourself to not understand your kids when they're 5, 6, and 7
exactly.
on stage, and allow them to develop this. But the other thing that I think is, as technology has advanced, sometimes I think the sound design takes away dynamic, so that if a performer is, you know, is using dynamics in their voice, it can be lost if the sound designer keeps trying to balance it. Do you know what I mean? And so,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And it's and I think that takes away, quite honestly, from the experience of theater.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, like, with all the, like you said, the technology and everything that they have in regard to music now, I would think that Broadway and cabaret is kind of untouched in regard to that matter, because it is a different experience. It is a different type of music, you know, and it doesn't require all that technology. You know what I mean? So,
but they use it. But I mean, they don't use it in cabaret. Cabaret is much more of a very honest voice, which is wonderful. But live theater in New York, I would have to say Broadway. And I think, in some ways, isn't it hard not to go there? If the technology is advancing, it's almost hard to resist it, you know, because there's so much you can do now with sound. But my favorite sound designers, and there are a couple that I think are really quite extraordinary, they get it. They get that it's much more interesting if you mic someone and you don't know that they're mic'd. You know what I mean? As opposed to, you know, just losing all nuance and so much storytelling that you can tell when you allow a natural voice to project the way it wants to.
Yeah. Do you think it's more men or women in cabaret right now or coming up?
Oh, I think it's more women.
Mm-hmm. Women, right? Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I was going to guess that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there are some young men, but yeah, I think we have a lot of women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wow. Is there anything you want to let anybody know where they can reach you, or do you have a website?
Sure, I do have a website, AnnKittredge.com, and
mm-hmm.
it keeps you up to date. You can also join my mailing list to keep you up to date with everything that's going on with my career. You can see some clips. I have a YouTube channel, and so my website is probably the best way to keep in touch, and I would love that. That would be really cool. And
excellent.
It also has all the information if anyone wants to either support CHP for this fundraiser or show up and have a great time with watching the show. The link is there also on my website, and it's a week from tomorrow. It's March 5th at 7:30.
Nice. Well, John, do you have anything to add? Or I was going to say goodnight to Ann, if that's okay with you.
No, I was just listening. I was fascinated. I was just listening to everything.
Well, Ann, I want
John,
to say,
you're the quiet type, aren't you?
Very quiet.
Yeah.
Still waters run deep.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely.
Well, Ann, it was an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you for enlightening me on Cabaret, and I love it. Thank you so much, and it's been an absolute pleasure. Wishing nothing but the best, and good luck on the show, and especially good luck with the award. We hope you win. And
thank you.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Ann Kittredge from Broadway and Cabaret, and watch out, she's an educator too. You got to kick her ass, that's all.
Oh, thank you, Joanne and John. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much, Ann. You have
Next
a good
time
night.
I'll call you on the right number.
Yes, well, we need to talk to Richard about that.
No, that was me. Richard, it doesn't matter.
As long as we got you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you so much, Ann. And honestly, all the best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too.
Take
all
care.
Right,
have
bye.
A good night. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.
Ann Kittredge, wonderful. Very nice person, too. And Texas Chaney, what a lovely guy. Should I say love you? Lovely. Love you. Should I say lovely for a guy his size?
Sure.
What a great guy. What a great guy Texas Chaney was. And, nice show. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. John, thank you. As always, I love you. Thank you to our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittredgeville, Pennsylvania, and KWB Wines. We thank you. And Sunday, we have an amazing show. You're going to love our guests, and you'll see it posted very soon. And we will talk to you later. Peace out, guys. Ciao for now.
Good night, everyone.
Night. Have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye.